You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Greetings, it's Peggy, and you're listening to Getting Peggy
okay,
with
you
it.
Know
and of
what?
Course,
I'm just
Ellen Marie, I was getting there.
But
can you let me start again? Please give me the benefit of the doubt.
It's hard to give you the benefit of the doubt when you are do everything consistently
this
wrong.
This is a teachable moment. Okay, let's start again.
Okay.
Roll with it, Ellen. Greetings, it's Peggy, and you're listening to Getting Peggy with it. And next to me. In this room.
No.
My right-hand lady. She just, I can't do it without her. Her name's Ellen Marie Marsh.
Right.
You may have seen her in nothing.
I've been in a lot of things, Peggy.
Yeah.
It's not about
anyway,
me, but I have been in a lot of things. Don't say
However,
that about
always-
me. Also, we're not in the same room. Don't make people think we're breaking quarantine. Repeat
we're
yourself.
Not.
We're not in the same
we're
room.
We're not.
So
I don't
why
trust
did you say
your
that?
Germs. I don't trust anybody.
I don't trust anybody either.
I really
I wash
don't
my
trust
hands 27 times a day.
I know. My hands are just bone.
Mine are bloody stumps.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Kind of like your heart.
Thank you.
Who do we chat with today? Who are we bringing to the podcast?
We are bringing, this week on the pod, we are talking to a fellow BPN podcaster named Josh Lehman.
Mm-hmm. I
Josh
love
Lehman.
Josh. He is such a sweet person. He's such a hard worker. He has a great podcast on BPN. So you guys are basically like podcasting partners.
We're not partners, no. I mean, he is very, I feel bad for him because his shows always close.
Mm.
But he knows it. You know, we've talked about it at length. And he always is like, oh, let's chat. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'll make time for you. And so we had a wonderful chat. And he's just so loving and game. And he always plays just like the affable guy that falls down. Like, that's basically him. He's like Chevy Chase.
No,
Chevy
I don't. Chase. He's not. He played a really, really funny role in The Prom. And it's a real shame The Prom closed because that was a really good show and it was really important.
He should have done the movie.
That's not,
you know
okay,
I mean?
I know you're not in show business per se,
smart.
But that's not not his choice.
Everybody should do TV and movies right now because that actually makes more money than theater, and who knows when theater's coming back. So I don't know. There are things that people should be doing, and it's just silly that they're not.
Right. So just real quickly, without pulling at that thread, how would you imagine someone would just go about like being on TV or a movie just
like
willy-nilly?
He could have said, hey, I'm Josh. I did The Prom on Broadway, even though it closed. I'd like to do the movie. And then they're like, okay. And then he could have done it.
So that's the way you think show business works? You just call and ask to do stuff?
Yeah. I mean, BPN just called me and was like, you should do a podcast. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, I got this dead weight I got to bring with me. Ellen Marsh, is that fine? And they were like, I guess.
That's the conversation you had?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was that on email or was that on a phone call?
It was on shouted from the rooftops, all platforms.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
okay.
So today we're talking to Josh, and I think he loves chatting with me. Do you?
I actually would say the opposite. If I were, if I was really forced to say something, I'm going to say Josh doesn't enjoy your company.
I think he's just a little upset, and this really has nothing to do with me. I think he's just upset with his life. But, I mean, thankfully, I just provide him a platform to chat.
I mean, yeah, when you say that, I mean, he's a very successful working actor. He's very beloved in the community. So I don't think he's upset.
I don't know about that.
You've heard something contradictory to that?
Well, he's out of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. I mean, Peggy, there's a pandemic. Everyone is out of work. You
got to
stop
know.
Saying that now because now everyone's out of work.
Everyone is out of work. It really goes with my brand because then I really can. Everybody I talk to that I'm like, will you work again? And now who knows if they will. So it's very self-fulfilling prophecy. It's very interesting, right? Interesting spot we've got ourselves in now that the world is ending. But anyways, the perfect time to listen to podcasts. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
So this is our conversation with Josh Lehman.
Can I talk to someone on production?
Getting Peggy with it. Greetings and welcome to Getting Peggy with it. Today we have one of my favorite funny people of Broadway.
Hmm.
He is currently can be seen off Broadway. No one cares. But let's talk to him about the golden era of his life when he was on Broadway. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Josh Lehman.
Hi.
Yay.
Yay. Hey, Peggy.
It's so good to have you
Thanks.
Here.
Thanks. I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
Yeah.
Why?
Because my experiences with you have, you know, you can.
We have a great time.
Yeah.
And we always, always have fun, man.
Yeah.
That is something that some people shy away from and some people lean into.
Sure.
And you're such a funny guy. Thanks. On stage.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
He always plays the same character. And there's something to be said for consistency. And wow, you know, just always being the same and always doing the same thing. You know what you're getting. You know what I mean? You get what you pay for and you know what you're getting.
Thanks.
You know what I mean? How would you describe your roles?
Well.
Kind of laughed at, a little bit like made fun of, the butt of the jokes.
Yeah, well, I'd
He's
say
great
that.
At being like reporter number 3/, you know, the rejected prom date. I assume that's what you did in prom.
No, actually, I played a publicist in prom. For me, I think there's so much darkness in the world. And this also, like, comes from my life with dealing with depression, that, like, comedy is something that I think is very important. I think laughter is very important.
It is important.
So I usually just try to think of things that make me laugh. I love being silly. So with Emojiland specifically.
Oh, that Josh is doing Emojiland off-Broadway. So if you have children under 9 and you have an extra 3 hours to spare, you could go see that.
Or you don't have to.
Yeah, or you don't have to. I saw it.
I know you did.
Nobody warned me.
Well.
I wasn't adequately warned.
Listen.
And I didn't take an edible.
The truth is you caught me at sort of a dark time. But,
well, that's for other people's podcasts. This isn't a podcast about journeys, okay? So let's go back to the beginning. What was your Broadway debut?
Hair.
Hair.
Yep.
Hair. Say it. Spray it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was fun.
So, did you get naked?
Yeah.
That's the only thing people care about.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
How was that?
It was really scary and really, really fun until people started posting pictures on the internet. And
why
then
would anyone do that?
Because we were all getting naked on stage. And so, and
they
that's when I stopped doing it. Yeah.
Oh. You stopped doing it?
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, I don't want to be naked anymore.
Wow. So were you in it when it was at the park?
No.
Oh, you weren't. Okay. Because that was when it was really special.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was your favorite part about Hair? Like Godspell is way more fun to be in than to see. Like seeing Hair and seeing Godspell is like, please just slice my eye open with a, you know, cheese grater. But to be in it is so everyone's like, we're bonded for life. We'll never be apart. This is my tribe. So what was your favorite part?
Well, I feel that way about Godspell. I have a deep hatred of Godspell.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Godspell just is dumb, but has good music.
Yeah, true.
Hair, I think, is different because it's actually a living, breathing protest. That's how it was made from 67 through the assassination of JFK and MLK and where the country was going. And it was relevant. It's very relevant now with this political civil war that we're sort of in.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think you might be a little wrong about Hair.
Well, I like Hair, but it's just way more fun to be in.
Oh, yeah.
Than to watch it.
Okay. Well,
when you watch it, everyone's just like rubbing up on each other and like with tassels.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But have you ever been in Hair?
Yeah, back in the day.
Did you get naked?
Mm-hmm.
How was that for you?
I loved it.
Good for you. Which part did
and
you
I,
play?
And I just went to the front and I said, does anyone need a picture? Did anyone not get their picture?
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Because
I'm a generous performer. So how long were you in Hair on Broadway?
I did it for the entire run. However long that was. And then I took it on the road and then I came back to Broadway for a couple months.
Do you know he dies in the end?
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
It's so sad. It's not really suitable for a musical, you know? All these sad musicals. It's
yeah.
Like, we need something uplifting.
I know. I agree.
You know?
Like Les Mis. What a crock of shit.
Yeah. It's like Miss Saigon, prostitutes. Les Mis, prostitutes. Moulin Rouge, prostitutes. Gigi, or whatever that was. A lot of prostitutes on Broadway and a lot of death.
Yeah. I agree.
Anything happy on Broadway?
Hamilton,
people
Hamilton,
die.
You know,
die.
People die in
and
that.
There's slavery and there's like, I don't know, there's a lot of darkness.
Well, you know, there is a lot of darkness in that, which ties back to why comedy is important.
It is important. Speaking of comedy, after Hair on Broadway, you were in Elf.
Yeah.
He was the elf.
No.
He was Buddy the Elf.
No.
He was the lead.
No, they wouldn't even know.
No?
I didn't even cover it. I didn't get to audition for it.
Were you on Elf?
What?
Were you in?
I did play a elf in the opening number, yes.
Okay, yeah.
What
was it like being in, you know, yet another movie that shouldn't have been made into a musical? You know what I mean?
What do you think about? I had a really great time because I really love Matt Sklar.
You'd be a great Buddy the Elf.
Thank you. I would love to play the role one day, or I did. Now that I'm older, I think it's a lot of work.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd be so good because you have a certain je ne sais quoi effervescence.
Thanks.
And lovable.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. What was it like being in a seasonal show, just knowing that unemployment was like looming around the corner and any minute it was all going to be gone?
It was actually really cool. That because when you're in a long running.
Yes, to say that.
Because when you're in a long-running show, for me, it's always like, okay, do we have till January? Do
oh,
we
have till the Tonys? Waiting for
do
the,
we have till
for the
fall?
Shoe to drop?
Yeah, exactly. So,
did you guys win any Tonys?
No.
No. Did you perform on the Tonys?
No.
No. Okay. Did you get any nominations?
No.
Okay. So, did Hair get any nominations?
Yeah. Yeah, we won Best Revival.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you perform at the Tonys?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was unbelievable. It was absolutely unbelievable. It was unreal.
What did you sing?
One of the best days of my
Aquarius?
Life.
We did.
Let the Sunshine
Flesh
In.
Failures?
And then we did the main song.
Hair. Say it.
Spray it.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah, fun story was I got, we run into the audience and dance with people, and I was assigned to dance with our choreographer who was nominated for Best Choreography.
Which was who?
Carol Armitage.
Never heard of her.
She choreographed Madonna's Vogue. And,
And
so I ran up to her in my hippie gear, huffing and puffing because Radio City's big. And I get up to her and she just says, no, I'm not getting up.
What?
And then I turned to all the other nominees around her, asking them to dance, and all of them said no to. Jen Damiano, Brian D'Arcy James.
What poor
everyone,
sport?
Everyone,
poor sports.
Everyone, the entire Next
James
to Normal.
Said no?
Yep, no thanks. All of Shrek, nope, nobody wanted to get up. And I looked down the aisle, and those three little bastards from Billy Elliot were up and dancing with the hippie down the aisle.
Oh, that is soul crushing.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had one job.
I know, one job.
Dance with someone in the audience.
Probably is hard.
Yeah.
And you were nominated for this.
Yeah.
And I got assigned to you.
Did you go up and try to Vogue to her? Maybe that would feel more comfortable.
That's probably what I should have done in hindsight.
Say it.
Say it.
With a comb.
You keep saying say it, spray it.
Yeah.
I don't think
that's what they say.
No, I don't think it is.
Say it.
Flow
I think
it,
swing it.
Show it.
Yeah.
Long as you can grow it. My
said
hair,
that three times now. Yeah. So.
Say it.
Remember, spray it. Peggy
flow
knows everything.
Flow it down to here. All right. So after Hair, what did you do?
I did Elf.
Okay. After Elf, what did you do?
I did Little Miss Sunshine and Into the Woods.
Oh, not on Broadway. What did you do on Broadway?
Oh.
Morgan loved that Into the Woods.
I know.
Morgan James.
Most people didn't like it.
I love Morgan James. And we actually had a big talk about that and a big cuddle. She is one of my favorite people.
Well,
and
you're very
her
nice
new
and
album,
very forgiving.
Peggy hates her.
Well, Peggy.
I don't hate her. I'm indifferent.
Well, I think Peggy's a little jealous because Peggy was up for Motown. Peggy was up for Wonderland.
I was in Motown.
And Peggy even did a reading of Wonderland and got replaced by Morgan.
Got replaced by Janet Jackal, which is everybody.
Yeah. But also, she is an incredible performer. And that
I'll pass it along. Or Ellen will. Ellen doesn't really return text, but I'm sure Ellen will pass it on someday when she's done doing stories.
Okay. That's okay. So next Broadway show.
Finding Neverland.
Yeah, was Finding Neverland.
What is it?
That was a good question.
Peter Pan?
It was the story about the person who wrote, J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The tagline was horrible. It was Finding Neverland, How Peter Became Pan.
Pan, yeah. Well, it's funny. The theater industry sort of felt very similar to how you
feel. How many Peter Pan musicals are there?
There are thousands. There's one
there's
happening
Pan,
right now. Yep.
There's
Peter
Fly,
Pan. There's Fly.
Finding
there's
Neverland.
Wendy. There's Darling. There's Ding Dings. There's
Doom
Dooms.
There's something called Wendy?
There's Lost. There's Boys Lost. There's Lost This. There's Hook. There's...
There's Hook?
I who the hell knows?
Were you in Peter Pan Live?
No, I auditioned for a pirate, and they did not like me.
Oh, that's a shame. That would have been great for your career.
Well,
being on TV is really where it's at.
I agree.
So who wrote Finding Neverland?
Elliot, Sam, and James.
Who wrote the music?
Who wrote the music?
Elliot something. I remember him. And he's really, really famous in Europe.
He was in a boy band.
Yeah.
What boy band?
Take Five.
Take That.
Take That.
Not Take Six. Take That.
Take That.
I don't know what that is.
Gary Barlow. Thank you. Gary Barlow.
Did he also write Pretty Woman? They both sounded pretty bad.
No. But it was very, they've never written a musical before. They wrote pop music bands. And Harvey really wanted that sound.
So Josh, what did you do in Finding Neverland?
I played Mr. Cromer. I know. You're like, oh, Mr. Cromer. That's one of my dream roles. He's the guy who, in this version of the story, originates the role of Michael, the youngest boy. Because what's funnier than a fatty in a onesie that flies?
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah.
You'd make a wonderful Winthrop.
Thanks. I think so, too.
So who choreographed Finding Neverland?
Mia Michaels.
Was she a nightmare?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What was bad about it?
About it? Her work is incredible. But, you know, Mia Michaels, I love her, but she's a... She's Mia Michaels.
Yeah, was she crazy?
They all are.
Yeah. Who else do we hate? You can tell me.
We hate everyone.
Yeah. Was there a dog in there? I love dogs.
There was a dog. The funniest thing is that the dog was played by a human at first.
Oh, no.
I know. Ugh. And the costumes
Nobody were, needs more humans. We the, need more dogs.
The costumes were so bad that it just, like, it could not happen. But what happened was... The actor playing the dog got to the theater and was, hey, can you go get in your dog costume, please? And came downstage, and there was a dog.
Really?
On center stage. And
randomly one day?
Yep. And he had to go, be a dog next to the dog. And that's when he got cut. And the
Lost
dog
his
took
job?
Over the. No, they kept him and let him be in some ensemble stuff, but most of his track was gone.
That is terrifying.
And the dog, because they didn't have time or wouldn't spend the money, I don't know, had never been on stage,
no.
Was not trained, was from some wildlife rescue upstate. And the trainer's name was Bambi, and she talked like this. She runs the camels for the Radio City Christmas show.
Oh, wow. She seems qualified.
That's her thing. Yep. And so Diane, my sweet, my love, my angel baby, Diane Paulus, would be in the audience on the God mic being like, Bambi, could you please try to make the dog look towards Matthew? And Bambi would go, it's a dog. No. No, it's a dog. What do you want? It's a dog.
Oh, my goodness.
And some performances, the dog would, it was supposed to run across the stage to Matthew, but it would just, peek its head out of the curtain and then, run on stage and then turn around and run back off, just, terrified. And, yeah, so.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
Yeah. Broadway.
Wow. I wonder why you didn't stay open.
Well, it ran for
too
a while.
Long. Too long.
Oh.
So, after Finding Neverland crashed, Groundhog Day. Oh,
yeah.
God. Another flop. Oh, okay. So this is another musical based on a movie.
Yes.
Call it quits.
No, but...
What did you play? The groundhog? Or did they get a real groundhog from upstate?
Oddly enough, the breakdown for my character said, bonus if actor or whatever resembles a groundhog.
Really?
I remember seeing the breakdown and being like,
that's amazing.
Going to book this because that is God's sense of humor.
What did you play in?
I played the mayor of the town.
Oh, yeah. And you lift up Punxsutawney Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah, me too.
I've seen it so many times.
I actually think that the musical elevated the movie.
Really?
Which doesn't really happen much.
What do you think of Andy Carl?
Oh, he's dreamy. I love him.
Three-time Tony loser. He's so dreamy.
Yeah, he's a three-time Tony nominee and a big star,
yeah.
And he's really
he's
incredible.
He's so dreamy. This podcast isn't about Orpheus, so she won't listen, so I'm free to say that he is very dreamy.
Yeah, well, I would be careful with that because, mm-hmm. And I love Orpheus, but...
Did he really hurt his knee, or did he fake it?
What?
That was great publicity. You can tell us.
He got really hurt. I was off stage. It was terrible. He was crying. Like, I've known him for 20 plus years. I've never seen him cry. It was really upsetting.
But he kept going on, didn't he?
He got a crutch of some sort, some prop, and turned it into a crutch and hobbled onto the stage.
Wow.
And finished the show.
See, kids these days, they have no work ethic. Do you ever notice that?
What?
Then grown people from the olden days, they have work ethic.
Sure.
Come out when you're injured and finish the show. But young kids, can you imagine a millennial getting a crutch and walking out on stage? Can you imagine one of the Hanson kids just coming out and like actually working when they're like, I have a little bit of a sneeze, and they call out seven shows. But Andy Carl, he comes on injured, finishes the job.
Yeah.
That is to be commended. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So did that win any Tonys?
No.
No. Okay. Have you ever won a Tony?
I've never been nominated.
A Grammy?
I've never been nominated.
So here's a question.
Hmm.
When you're offered shows, do you just like look for flops, or is that a fun challenge for you because you think somebody's got to do it?
Well.
So after Groundhog Day, you did yet another flop. Bless your sweetheart, The Prom. Last time I saw you, we were talking about the closing of The Prom.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. And what is The Prom about?
The Prom was about a lesbian.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Who went to a high school where all the people were like, we don't like you. You're a lesbian.
Okay.
You can't go to the prom. As a matter of fact, we're canceling it.
Whoa.
There's a group of celebrities in New York, and they're not really all that famous anymore, and they want to be, and they find out about this, and so they go, let's get this girl her prom, whether she likes it or not. Mob outrage, and they fly to this hick town
Indiana,
and they storm the town, and they save the day, and they get this girl her prom, and she has this girlfriend who's like, no, I can't tell people that I'm gay, but I'm a lesbian, and then it all works out, and everybody dances, and it's really great.
Oh, wow.
And I don't consider it a flop. I think it changed a lot of people's lives.
Josh is going to be in The Prom movie.
No, I am not.
These movies are where it's at.
They made a decision to not use me in The Prom movie, but The Prom movie is going to be incredible. Kevin Chamberlain is playing the role.
What about Brooks Ashmanakis?
Nobody from the,
F-level.
Nope. Vosti Mompoint, who is in the ensemble, is in The Prom movie.
That's it?
Yes.
Nobody else from the Ridge?
Nobody.
Whew. It is rough out there, kids. Let this be a lesson to you. You could be in an original Broadway flop cast, and they could make it into a movie and replace you with other people that aren't even that famous anyways. And it's just a cautionary tale. Don't get your hopes up. Have low expectations. Keep your, you know, keep your day job. All the things you hear, they're true, okay? And just you have to look out for number one. Even if number one is the first table at the restaurant that night, you got to look out for number one and make sure you get a good tip. So do you think prom closed because the kids were dancing so hard?
No.
They look tired.
Yeah, I guess they were tired.
Are you an actor who moves or a mover who acts?
I am a...
Or an actor who plants?
I'm an actor who moves well and marks like I'm moving.
Marks, yeah.
I don't like dancing. I mean, I like it fine. It's just a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why all these dancers, their bodies are just going to quit any second. What's the point?
I don't know.
You know, life is so short, it's even shorter for a dancer. You know,
Well,
it's kind of like being a catcher in a major league baseball. They don't die, you know? Everything's uphill.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yeah.
Tell me this.
Okay.
I want to play a game called Finish the Lyric.
All right.
All right? We starve, look at one another short of breath, walking proudly.
In our winter coats, wearing spells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasies. Listen. Okay, great.
Nice.
Thanks.
The jester shrugs and plays his part.
I have no idea.
From Groundhog Day.
I have no idea.
The fevered fall see only dark.
not my lines. I have no idea.
Yeah, this is a lesson we've been talking about a lot today, which is, do you know when you're in a play, you should read the whole play?
Okay. I did read the whole play. I just didn't memorize the whole play.
In Shakespeare's times, it was called sides. When you auditioned for something or when you did a play, you were given only your side of the story. And most actors only know their side of the story. So that's what Josh is clearly one of those actors. And, you know, it's not really the way to be. Okay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Now for a segment we like to call Fast Faves.
Fast Faves.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something and you tell me your answer as quick as you can, okay? Mm. All right. What color is your underwear?
Green.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Biggest accomplishment?
Career.
Really?
Yeah.
First CD you bought?
Madonna.
Which one?
Wait, no, it was a record. It was Blue, the
Joni Mitchell.
Open your heart to me.
Oh, Madonna.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Have you ever played Tevye?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
In high school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's your bedtime?
When I'm tired.
When's that?
When changes.
Favorite vacation spot?
Sedona.
Ooh.
I want to go to Sedona.
Love beach it. Or mountains?
Beach.
Mm, but Sedona's in the mountains. Mm-hmm. Just telling you. Cold or hot?
Cold.
Any tattoos?
Yes.
Where?
There, and oh, well, this is radio. On my left arm, over my heart, and on my right forearm.
What are they?
I have a beautiful...
Let me guess. You have the coordinates of when you met the love of your life. You have, like, your sign, and you have your mom's face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great job.
Favorite superstition? You have any?
No.
No? Do you have any weird quirks?
Yes.
Tell me.
I like to be in control of everything.
That just sounds like good planning.
Thanks.
All right. I would like to do a segment we like to call Lasting Impressions.
Lasting Impressions.
Okay. We know that every actor has to have several impressions in their back pocket to get jobs. Okay. And we want to hear some of yours. All right. Lissy Margarita. Do you know who that is?
I'm working with her.
Mm-hmm. Me, 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 me.
Drew Barrymore.
Hi, hi, glitter.
Michelle Wolf.
She's...
I don't know who that is.
She's a grandma?
I don't know who it is. Oh, the comedian.
Yeah.
You want to hear a joke?
That's horrible.
I don't know.
Patti LuPone.
Nomina de Bele.
Carole Carmelo.
I don't know this man.
Marissa Tomei.
She talks like this. Vinny, Vinny, Vinny. What? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm a
she
star.
Sounds like Tommy Bracco.
Yeah, she sounds like Tommy Bracco.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, my brother's dead.
Whoa, that got dark quick.
Sorry, I'm dark.
Judge Judy. Wait, Josh, you're a gay, right?
Yeah.
Is it true all gays love Judge Judy?
I think they remind...
My best gay loves Judge Judy. He watches every epi.
She reminds me of my choir teacher in high school. You're out of order. You're out of order. Shut up.
Who are your favorite Broadway divas?
Oh, gosh. I love Morgan James. I love Ella Marie Marsh.
No, real divas, like stars from the way back.
from the way back.
Do you like Judy Kuhn?
Yes.
Mary Maisie?
Yes.
Audra McDonald?
Yes. I love Mary Testa.
Ooh, can you do an impression?
I have greatness within me. I can do a Gwen Verdon, which is also, this is her. And this is also my Matthew Broderick impression.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So Sarah Jessica, Bobby, it's all the same.
Yes, that's great.
Thanks.
That is wonderful.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, those are my impressions.
Those are pretty good. Who are your favorite leading men?
Oh, gosh.
Mandy Patinkin?
Yeah.
Brian Stokes?
Yeah.
No.
I love
Anthony
Brian
Warlow.
Darcy. Brian Darcy James is one of my favorites.
He didn't dance with you at the Tonys.
Yeah,
me too. That was a low blow. I loved, I'm so bad with names. It's been a while. He played the dad next to Normal when it opened and was in Jersey Boys. Robert J. Spencer.
Oh, I can't remember him.
Or J. Robert Spencer.
Who's your favorite Evita?
My favorite Evita? I saw
There's
one
only
on
one answer.
Patty.
Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite Gypsy Rose Lee? I mean Mama Rose.
Patty.
Yeah. Well, it's between who's your favorite Dolly?
I saw Bette do it, but that's the only one that I saw, so I'm just gonna say Bette.
Mm.
You disagree.
No, I love Bette.
I really want to go see Carole.
I like Bernadette. Oh, yeah. Carole Carmelo is a dream.
Yeah, she's one of my favorites.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She drives a Vespa.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now for a segment we like to call Actors Are Dumb.
Everybody knows actors are dumb.
I'm going to ask you some trivia, okay?
Uh-huh.
Try to answer them.
Okay.
What was the name of Shakespeare's wife?
Lydia. Linda.
Anne.
What
TV series showed the first interracial kiss on American network television?
Small Wonder.
I wish. I loved that show.
I don't know.
Remember that show?
Yeah,
I love
that show.
Small Wonder.
little Vicky.
She was creepy as
I don't
AF.
Know. Maybe Golden Girls?
Star Trek.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
1968.
Wow.
Vincent van Gogh, that's how you say it in Amsterdam, famously painted the Starry Night while he was where?
In Vienna.
In a psych ward.
Oh.
In chess, the queen has the combined movement of which two pieces?
The bishop and the king?
The bishop and the rook.
Cool.
The TV show Mama's Family is a spin-off of what show?
Carol Burnett Show.
Yeah, you got one.
Yeah.
You got one. Do you like Carol Burnett?
I love her.
Oh, yeah. She's great,
She came to Groundhog Day, and like I cried after.
Really?
I met her, and then I went to the bathroom, and I cried.
Wow. Is that your favorite celebrity you've met?
It was one of the most meaningful ones. Like, we always talk about the things that inspire us, but her performance in Annie, her Miss Hannigan, like I watched that hundreds of times when I was a little kid.
She's a genius.
And, and then the Carol Burnett Show and all that, she does, her work means a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Are there any celebrities you haven't met yet that you really want to?
I've gotten to meet a lot of really incredible people, and I'm going to say I'm not dying to meet anybody because I've learned that sometimes it's better to just admire their work from afar.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you find out they're assholes.
Yeah, and sometimes it's better
sometimes
to just –
Sometimes you just leave people on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Leave them there, you know? And, you came to meet me and found out that I was great, but that could have easily gone the other way, you know? So, Josh, how about we do a bowl of questions?
Bowl of questions.
How do you like your eggs?
Scrambled.
Do you collect anything, Josh?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Do you have any hobbies?
Yes.
What?
I love studying World War II, the Holocaust, and resistance fighters and genocides.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. An actor who reads. This is fascinating.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, most of the actors that come in here have no hobbies, don't read books, and I don't even know if they can read at all.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they don't know what happens in their plays that they're in.
Well,
I hope none of them are in plays because plays are pointless.
Yeah, plays are really pointless.
They're so dumb. What is a product you would refuse to promote?
getting Peggy with it?
Well, you're not promoting that. I have plenty of supporters.
Good.
If you were stranded on a tropical island with two things, what would you want with you?
I'd want a pet.
What kind?
A tropical island, probably a cat, because they're a little more, they can hunt.
He would just eat you if you died. Just know that about cats. It's fine to have them. Just know that they for themselves.
If I died, I would want the cat to eat me.
Yeah,
and
that's
live
true.
A wonderful life on the island.
And what's your other thing that you take?
A gun.
A gun. That's great. What is the first thing you notice about someone when you first meet them?
If they're a good person.
How do you know that when you first meet someone?
I usually have a good sense of things.
Really?
Yeah.
You seem a little paranoid.
Yeah.
If you were running for office, what would your campaign slogan be?
It would be, let's bring the world together, please.
That's
2020.
Great. That's great.
Let's bring the world together, please. 2020.
Please, you guys. Please. Come on, guys. What was your favorite book growing up?
I loved Where the Red Fern Grows.
Oh, it's a wonderful one.
Yeah. I loved Mouse, which was this like... not a comic, but sort of like an animated tale.
German adult novel.
Yeah, like about the Holocaust, sort of. But
that sounds frightening.
It was very good.
There's a lot of depressing things out there, Josh. Do you want to know my favorite childhood book?
Yeah.
The Elephant's Child.
Ooh.
Have you ever read it?
No. Nope.
Rudyard Kipling.
Oh. I'll look into
that. You should check it out.
Yep.
What is your favorite pet's name?
I love them both equally. Sweeney and Toby.
Oh,
yeah, they're my babies. I love them.
Sweeney and Toby. What's the Toby from? Like Tobias?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. They're both from Sweeney Todd. Is that your favorite musical?
Yeah.
It is?
It is.
Have you played Tobias?
No, I did years ago.
You're perfect for that.
Thanks.
You could also do Sweeney.
I don't think they were doing
like an alt version.
Yeah, where he's like really... pingy.
Jovial and pingy. Yeah. But that would be the perfect person to kill people. You'd never suspect it.
John Wayne Gacy. Look at him.
I mean, look at all the serial killers.
Yeah.
They look really nice like you. What is the lowest grade you've ever been given in a class and why? Were you a good student?
No, I was terrible. I almost didn't graduate high school.
Did you go to college?
For a year and a half, I dropped out.
What'd you study?
Musical theater.
Where'd you go?
University of the Arts.
Where's that?
Philadelphia.
Oh, and why'd you drop out?
Because I hated it, and it was stupid, and I was partying a lot, and I was like, that's more fun.
What is your best feature?
My best feature?
Physical and personality.
Physical, I think I got some, like, fierce legs. And personality, I think I'm really good at being there for people.
Yeah, you're very caring.
Thanks.
Are you poor? Most actors are poor.
I'm not poor, but I'm not rich. I'm okay.
Josh, do you have a podcast?
I do.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's called Josh Swallows Broadway. It's
Where
here.
Did that come from?
It just came from a thing that I used to do on Instagram, and the Broadway Podcast Network took it on, and that's why
I'm here.
Yeah,
you used to like eat a bunch of healthy stuff.
Yeah.
Still do that?
I do in my own life, but I would swallow shots of like very, very, very healthy things that tasted terrible and do reaction videos. You know,
and from that, a podcast was born.
It was born.
Favorite.
Yeah,
I loved when you used to do that.
First fail.
Oh, thanks.
I loved it.
They tasted like cancer. They were awful.
Well, that health food is good for you.
I know.
Hello to all who follows. Time for a new episode of Josh Swallows Healthy Shit. Hey, so let's see what turmeric and ginger can do. Oh my god. That was a nasty ass shit. Who the fuck thought turmeric and ginger were a good idea? My god, those are like fucking demon children put together to create one other demon children that fucking tasted like warfare. Like Vietnam.
Do you still swallow things like that?
No, but I can.
You should do it on the podcast. That's what your podcast is called.
I will.
I think every guest should have to bring him something to try.
The hard thing is that you run out of things to try because it has to taste gross.
There's a ton of healthy things.
Full of turmeric.
Come to my house.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You could have like a garlic clove. Don't challenge us.
We'll bring you a whole set to live in the refrigerator.
Challenge.
It's just a traditional podcast where everybody talks about their journey.
Sometimes. Yeah, but
there's so many of those. We don't really need any more, but I guess people are just like, they love to hear themselves talk, so they just keep making more podcasts. So, and that's what everybody does. Every actor in New York has one. And I'm happy for you that you have one.
Thanks. I'm happy for you for having one, too.
Thank you so much. I'm happy for everyone because they need something different.
Yeah.
And so it's just like in a world where everyone has a podcast, I would hate to sit down with you and you not have one. That would be embarrassing.
I know. That'd be so awkward.
Because we both have one.
Yeah, because we both have one.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm going to ask you this. Do you have any advice for young people coming up in the biz?
Yeah, I think it's really important to take care of your mental health. I think it's really important to, you know, find a therapist, find a community, you know, just have an army, have a team. You don't have to go through anything alone. And New York's hard. Any city's hard.
New York is hard.
That's my advice.
It'll spit you up and chew you out. Chew you up and spit you out.
My other advice would be to be kind to everyone.
Say it, spray it, flow it when you make it.
I told that to Peggy earlier today. What did I tell you?
Did you talk? I don't know. I try not to listen to anything she says.
I said everyone's fighting a battle she knows nothing about.
She loves to do Instagram quotes, like just put them on her wall.
Well, no, Peggy.
I don't, Peggy.
Peggy, I'm just saying that sometimes
people
life is hard for people.
Life is really hard, and it doesn't make it easier when you have the Ellens of the world badgering you.
No. Well,
I'm sorry that she's doing that and interjecting a lot.
She's not. She's actually just making a pretty valid point that
yeah, I'm sure the next quote out of her mouth is going to be like, dance like no one's watching and other BS.
Cool.
What if you don't want to dance? That's my, you know, that's my, when I see that quote, my next thought is, what if you don't want to dance? Or what if you're a paraplegic? And that's an insensitive quote.
Yeah.
Dance like no one's watching. Yeah. Well, maybe no one's watching because you can't, and it's insensitive. So, Josh, do you have any advice for any up and coming actors? Anything they should do in their career differently to help them?
Yeah. Maybe just quit.
Just quit?
Yeah, just go home. Just stop it.
If you have something else you want to do,
all.
This is another Ellen quote. If there's anything else you could do instead, do it.
Is that my quote? Is that what I've said?
Yeah.
Maybe? When did I say that?
I don't know. You probably do. You say cliche things all the time. This is such a treat.
Yep.
I don't know if Josh is having as much fun as you are, Peg.
I think he is.
I'm having a great time. I'm really.
I think it's just his face. Earlier, he said he was depressed. I mean, I don't want to press him on it. You know what I mean? I think it's just his face is sad.
I'm just honored to be a part of the same podcast network, and I'm happy to be here as a favor to them.
This is wonderful.
Yes, I am happy to do that and to support the network.
Josh, you're in Emoji Land now, and you made a cast album, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it bad?
I haven't heard it.
Is it auto-tuned within an inch of its
life?
I
haven't heard it.
I bet it is.
That's the kind of thing that I'm dealing with. I haven't heard the cast album. It's only available on Spotify.
You can go to Spotify.
It only lets you shuffle, and you have to listen to a million songs.
Oh, my God. Get the 99-cent version and reduce the ads.
No.
My God, are you a savage?
No. No.
I'll put my money on Melodyne. How about that?
Oh, God.
You know, when you have a vanity project and then you get some great comedians like Leslie Margarita and Josh Lehman, you know, they're making you carry that whole show. And so, you know, they should be really thanking you every day. I know that's probably like a tier 7 off-Broadway contract. And they're like, here, Josh, we bought you this. We got you a gift card for Pad Thai 2 on the corner. And that's your payment. But they should really be thanking you because you really held up that show when I saw it. This is so fun. Oh, my gosh. I wish we could talk all night, but we're running out of time. So I just want to say this. Josh, is there anything coming up that we should know about in your life?
There's a lot of things coming up.
Tell
Peggy.
Us.
One show that I wrote, a musical I wrote, co-wrote called Bloody Bloody Jessica Fletcher. That got bought by Hal Luftig's Ooh. Producing office, which is great.
Congrats.
I'm working on a new original show with Annalee Ashford and Craig Jessup, which is really fun.
Oh, Annalee Ashford's brilliant.
I love her.
Tony winner.
Yep. And
yeah, that's good to hit your start of somebody like that. Successful.
Yep, that's the idea.
Yeah.
You know.
Good job.
Thanks.
Not all actors are dumb, because that's a smart move.
And then I'm working on season 2 of my podcast.
Oh, yeah, you said that. Just what everybody needs.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm going to go talk to our mutual producers. I hope that we can do this again real soon, too. Thanks for having me, Peggy.
Everybody, this has been Getting Peggy With It with Josh Lehman. Where are you going, Josh?
Bye.
You've been listening to Getting Peggy With It on the Broadway Podcast Network. Getting Peggy With It is produced by Alan Seals and directed by Ellen Marie Marsh. Getting Peggy With It is edited by Alan Seals and Ellen Marie Marsh, and she won't let you forget it. Please follow Peggy's adventures at Greetings, it's Peggy! One word, dummies. Special thanks to Taylor Newsom and Josh Lehman. Peggy is a character created by Morgan James. That's me, Morgan James. And Peggy. And Morgan. Thanks for listening.
Can I talk to someone on production?
Yes. You're speaking with someone on production. This is who you should speak with. Can I help you?
No. Alan! Okay.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.